The future of military tribunals at Guantanamo Bay is now in question. Two different military judges threw out charges against a pair of detainees.
Joining us to discuss the decisions is Dahlia Lithwick. She's legal analyst for the online magazine Slate and a frequent guest here on Day to Day. Welcome back, Dahlia.
Hi, Madeline.
So these cases involved Omar Khadr, he was 15 years old when he was captured, and Salim Hamdan, reputed to be Osama bin Laden's driver. What did the judges rule in those two cases?
The judges in both cases basically said, we don't have jurisdiction to even hear these cases, that the two defendants had been identified previously only as, quote, enemy combatants and not as, quote, unlawful enemy combatants. And even though that seems incredibly semantic, there's an enormous difference because the statute that Congress passed authorizing these tribunals says they only have jurisdiction to hear the cases of unlawful enemy combatants. So even though it seems quite trivial, it's actually very, very significant. It's also worth pointing out that the difference between being a lawful and an unlawful enemy combatant is the difference between getting a whole panoply of Geneva Convention protections that you don't get otherwise.
So one of them would essentially be a war criminal and the other one is just someone caught up on the battlefield.
Precisely. And again, you know, it really does turn on this question of what is it that Congress authorized when they authorized these trials? And it's quite clear from the language of the statute that Congress said you really only have jurisdiction to hear these sort of unlawful enemy combatant cases, these war crimes cases.
So then can the prosecutors just go back and simply redesignate these people and bring them before the judge again?
Certainly, that's one of the options. The problem is that the entity that does these designations is called a Combat Status Review Tribunal, a CSRT, and these little sort of mini tribunals that happen before the actual trials have become one of the thorniest parts of the whole process of trying these folks at Guantanamo because the tribunals are considered quite skewed. They're very cursory. The evidence that comes in is very, very tilted against the defendant. And so as there's been a sort of steamrolling of opposition to the procedures at Guantanamo, one of the big, big things folks have objected to is these CSRTs. So it's quite uncomfortable to have to go back and redesignate not just these two men, by the way, but everybody, all of the potentially 80 people at Guantanamo who face trial, to go back and redesignate them as unlawful. But the other options really aren't much better, Madeline. They can certainly appeal the judge's ruling, although, as the New York Times pointed out recently, there isn't even an appellate court set up yet to hear that appeal. So it's part of this sort of inventing these procedures on the fly is that right now the prosecutors don't even have a place to go if they want to appeal the decision.
So now are they just going to go back and painstakingly go through all these CSRTs with all 80 of these detainees facing trial?
Certainly they may have to. It's, as I said, not at all an attractive option, but it may be the only option. I think under the statute, the government has a 72-hour period in which to make some tough decisions, but it does look as though they're going to have to go back and be redesignated. I will say that the Defense Department's argument on this legal point, this sort of fine legal point as to whether or not the detainees are in fact unlawful combatants as opposed to lawful combatants, is that this doesn't need to be done again because it's implicit in the very fact that they're, you know, caught up at Guantanamo, that of course they're unlawful and you don't need to make these designations. That's certainly the legal argument they seem to be putting forward.
Dahlia Lithwick, legal analyst for Slate.com and for us here at Day to Day. Thanks, Dahlia.
My pleasure, Madeline.